Welcome back into Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Cavaliers basketball comes your way a little bit later on tonight. The Cavs at home at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse welcoming in the Washington Wizards. And that's our cue to welcome in the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn. Tim's appearances are brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And make sure you are dialed in at the end of our chat with Tim here because we're giving away a couple of Cavs tickets to a game at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse next month. Tim, great to have you on again. And well, now that you've had a chance to sit back and sleep in your own bed for a few straight days, are things feeling a little bit better for this Cavalier team after being gone for a week and a half?
And I'll tell you what, I think everybody was kind of zombie-like when we got back after the game Saturday against Chicago. And I think the Cavaliers' second half play against the Knicks showed that. Yeah, it was a tough trip. It was tough on the body. And heck, I don't play. I just sit in the seat and call the games on the radio. But, man, you know, you're flying all over, I think, 5,000-6,000 miles total somewhere in there, and six different games in five different cities, and played a game in every time zone. So, no doubt, you like to get back home and sit on your own couch and eat at your own table and sleep in your own bed and all those things. So, hopefully, following the clunker, I think is what John Beilein called Monday's game against the Knicks. Hopefully, following the clunker, we'll get things back on track tonight.
While we're on that topic, and you know, not to dwell too much on one loss, but boy, was Monday disappointing, because that's a team in the Knicks, and you mentioned it during the pregame show on Monday. It really is kind of this hodgepodge of free agents, and you know, the Knicks have made some decisions over the years that certainly have been head-scratchers, and as a result, they haven't won a ton of games. It just seemed like that was a golden opportunity for the Cavaliers to put the stop to a losing streak. But, you know, at the same time, you're playing a little bit earlier than you normally would, and you're coming off a six-game road trip. How much do you think fatigue played into the result on Monday night?
Well, I think it definitely played into it during the second half. In fact, I recall turning to Jim. I don't remember if it was live on air or maybe during a commercial break, but I do recall turning to Jim and saying, Jim, it looks like they're running in mud. They just couldn't get their legs. They couldn't get any sustained energy in that third and especially the fourth quarter. So I think fatigue did have something to do with that. And you know, it's not a myth. I'm sure there's some analytical data somewhere that says, you know, these games where you come home for the first time after a long trip, things don't go well. I don't think it's an urban legend. I think it's true. And it caught up with the Cavs more so in that second half on Monday.
And not to make too big of a deal out of this stretch coming up, but look, playing at home a lot here between now and the All-Star break, I think will give us a pretty good glimpse as to what this group is all about and how promising it could be moving forward. And Tim, I say that for a number of different reasons. Number one, you know, we're not that far removed from a trading deadline here. We're just a couple of weeks away, so if a move's going to be made, obviously, we'll know between now and the All-Star break. But also, this is an opportunity for the Cavs to play some teams, again, on paper, that don't exactly have the best rosters or win-loss records. There's a couple of good teams mixed in there. The Clippers are one of the ones that come to mind. But you look at the teams they're playing between now and the break, over these next 10 games, tonight's game included, eight of those were at home. So am I making too much of this? It seems like this is a pretty important stretch for this young group.
No, you're not making too much of it at all, Bull. You're making a valid point. It's a terrific point that, you know, and John Beilein has said throughout the year, listen, we know when we go up against the Lakers, the 76ers, the Celtics, they're at a level above us. That's what we're striving to get to. So we know those are very, very difficult matchups. But we do want to compete, and we want to be in the games against teams that are going through the same sort of process that we are. So you're right. As you look at the upcoming schedule, there are games, at least on paper, and I know that's a cliche, but at least on paper, that you would think, okay, the Cavs on paper match up pretty well with these teams. So we'll see how they play out. Now, yeah, I know it's another cliche, one at a time, but you do. You have to take them one at a time, and so you try to get it started tonight with Washington. They're coming off a long night last night. They had to go to overtime down in Miami. They lose to the Heat. You know, I have no idea what time they got on their plane in Miami, but that's not a short hop from Miami to Cleveland. So now you've got the long flight. My guess is they got in here somewhere 3:30 in the morning, and now they've got to get ready to play a game tonight. So you would hope that would give the Cavs some sort of advantage, but hey, we'll find out when that ball goes in the air shortly after 7 o'clock.
And, of course, the Cavs have had a few days to kind of get ready for this game tonight after what went down on Monday against the Knicks. And, Tim, to take a look at what this Cavalier backcourt has done recently, I know that the losses don't have a lot of folks too excited, but maybe you take a look at the numbers here and you see that they're moving the ball a little bit better. You know, to me, people beat up Colin Sexton a lot for dribbling too much, puts the ball on the floor a ton. That's kind of his game, but over the last couple of games, it seems like his assist numbers have gone up. Darius Garland's numbers have certainly gone up as far as that goes as well. And I know we've talked about how he's a primary ball distributor, but I think with what John Beilein wants this team to eventually become, it seems like they're moving the ball around a little bit better now as opposed to the way they were doing it 2 months ago.
I would absolutely agree with that. I always preface my remarks with you and other affiliate chats that I do that, you know, I'm not a spokesman for John Beilein, nor do I pretend to be. But you know, I think John has been pretty upfront throughout the year that, you know, on the Colin Sexton side of things, the key stat that they were looking at, certainly they wanted to see the assist number go up, but they wanted to see those turnover numbers come down and also better shot selection. And I think with the latter two, the turnover numbers and the shot selection, I think they're seeing the improvement there from Colin Sexton and from Darius Garland. I think it was more the assist level going up. Not that they didn't want his turnovers to go down, and that has happened too, but they want to see those assist numbers go up as he plays that more traditional role of point guard. And I think the last 3 to 4 weeks we've seen that, especially, you know, the double-double out in Los Angeles that he had against the Clippers where he had double-digit assists for the first time this year. So, again, you know, the wheels of progress sometimes grind slowly, but I think if you step back and allow yourself to look at the big picture, there's definite progress with that backcourt. And again, Bull, their combined age is 40 years old, 21 and 19, Sexton and Garland respectively. So there's a huge upside. It's going to take some patience, both from John Beilein and the fans, but boy, you can see the real potential there.
Again, we are speaking with the voice of the Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Tim's appearances are brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Tim, one guy that certainly has been criticized a bit this year, and maybe unfairly, I think, to some degree, is a guy that has also played, I think, pretty well of late, and that's Jetty Osmond. You know, Jetty's been pretty efficient. They haven't asked him to shoot the ball a ton. But again, when he's been called on to score, he's certainly done that in small doses. And Tim, with the role that he is asked to play on this particular team, I think over the last couple of weeks, it seems to me like he's been one of the more efficient guys in the bunch.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, Bull, because this goes back to what we were just talking about with Darius Garland being the facilitator. And if Darius Garland can find Jetty to allow Jetty to spot up shoot, Jetty can knock down shots. He's not terrific at creating his own shot, and he'll be the first one to tell you that. But if he's coming off a screen or if he's standing somewhere and someone finds him, Garland, and he's allowed to spot up shoot, he can knock him down, especially on the three ball side. I want to say, I'm pretty sure it was the games back-to-back in L.A., where he had 9 threes in those two games, 5 and 1 and 4 in the other. So if you give him the opportunity to spot up shoot, he can knock that down. So, yes, he has become a steady contributor, and his double-digit numbers have been there pretty consistently throughout the year. So he has been a bright spot. There's no doubt about that.
When you get to this point in the season, as you know, we're just about halfway through it, and, of course, the All-Star break is still just a few weeks away, you get the impression that at some point some of the younger guys might hit a wall and you're looking for a little bit more energy coming off the bench. And that's where I think the Cavaliers were hoping to have Kevin Porter Jr. make the impact after they traded away Jordan Clarkson. So along those same lines, Tim, I know that when you take a look at the impact Kevin Porter Jr. had before the injury, we all kind of figured that that bench bunch would take a bit of a step back without him. How much do you think that injury has set that bench bunch back?
Oh, I would agree with you wholeheartedly there. I mean, early in the year, as Porter started to get comfortable, Jim and I would talk about the fact that he was bringing energy off that bench, and his point totals were gradually going up as he acclimated himself to the NBA game. So, yeah, when he went down with that knee injury, it definitely impacted bench production. So I know they will welcome him back and look forward to getting him back. I don't think it's too far off. Don't ask me to guess at a date because I don't know. But I don't think it's too far off. And I know once they get him back, I think that bench production will definitely go up.
As we examine this bench bunch even further, I mean, Larry Nance Jr. is always a name the Cavaliers are going to rely on because he can do so many different things. But it feels like when you look at that bench bunch, you're always looking for somebody else to step up on any given night, and I know that group's been dinged up a little bit, you know, recently with Dellavedova and John Henson and Ante Zizic not being able to play much because of injuries. Is there a guy, or maybe there are a couple of guys, that stand out to you that the Cavaliers are really going to have to squeeze a little bit more out of over the next couple of weeks?
That's a great question. You mentioned Larry Nance Jr. I think if they could get some more points out of Larry Nance Jr. when he comes in, he adds some length defensively. He's a terrific rebounder, but I think they're going to need, or they would like to see, maybe is a better way to put it. They'd like to see a little more point production out of Larry Nance Jr. because the other guys off the bench, they simply aren't known for their offensive prowess. I mean, Deli is a great facilitator. He's a nice leader out there, but, you know, nobody's going to mistake Matthew Dellavedova, you know, for coming off the bench and being some guy that's just going to start scorching the Nets. Same with Dante Exum. More of a defensive specialist, brings a lot of length to the floor on the defensive end. So, to your point, you're looking for some offensive punch so that when they go to the bench, somebody can still fill that hole and still get you some points. And I think it could possibly be, and they would like it to be, Larry Nance.
Before we get to a preview of tonight's matchup between the Cavaliers and the Washington Wizards, one non-Cavalier question coming your way. I guess it's quasi-Cavalier related because we're going to talk about a guy that will be at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse with the New Orleans Pelicans next Tuesday. Boy, the Zion train got the wheels in motion last night. Not sure if you had the chance to watch Zion Williamson make his NBA debut against the Spurs last night, but I thought it was fascinating because he had, to a large degree, kind of been forgotten about since he hadn't played a game all year and he was so hyped going into the NBA draft. But, Tim, I know it's exciting for Cavalier fans. I think it's exciting for the Cavs to be able to host him next Tuesday. But what were your impressions based on what you saw, maybe what you heard about Zion's NBA debut last night?
Well, you know, the wait was worth it. He's as good as advertised. I mean, he is just an electrifying player. And again, he kind of felt his way through the first half and got acclimated. And then, boy, he really showed you why everybody was just so excited about him coming to the NBA. I mean, we had seen what he had done at Duke, but this kid is going to be very, very special. And it is kind of neat that, unfortunately for him, that he missed that first half of the campaign. But the good news is that New Orleans comes here in the second half of the season, so we'll be able to see him. And, yeah, he's very special. And you mentioned how good it is for the Pelicans and for Cavs fans. I'll tell you what, Bull, I think it's great for the NBA because, you know, we've talked, and Scott Zarilla and I, when Scott and I did the countdown show, you know, the NBA is a star-driven league. It's a player-driven league. And, Zion, as his career keeps going, and he can hopefully stay away from injuries, he's going to be a star. He could be a megastar. And this young man will put people in seats and put eyes on televisions, and that's great for the league. That's something that should, enhance their brand. And I think boy, you think about how young he is. I mean, he's going to be around for a while. So, knock on wood, he stays healthy, and he has a phenomenal career because it'll be great for the NBA.
And it should be great for Cavs fans as he visits Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse next Tuesday as he and the Pelicans take on the Cavaliers. But tonight at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, it's the Cavs and the Washington Wizards. Tim, let's get a quick preview of tonight's game. You mentioned earlier that the Wizards are going to come into this one a little jet-lagged.
Well, they sure are. They were down in Miami last night and lost to the Heat in overtime, and their guys logged a lot of minutes. So an overtime game, an early morning flight, I would think, by the time they got out of Miami. So, yeah, hopefully they'll be a little weary. I know they didn't have shoot-around earlier today. I'm sure Coach Brooks just said sleep in and get as much rest as you can. So, you know, but they're a team, Bull, they've won some games as of late that, you know, we talked earlier about matchups on paper, that if you looked at it on paper, you'd go, well, Washington doesn't have a chance here. But, you know, they beat Boston, they beat Denver, so they've beaten some teams in the last couple of weeks that you thought they didn't have a chance. So they've got talent. They love to get up and down the floor. I mean, they are a high-paced team, and I want to say they're second in the league as far as field goal attempts are concerned. So they're hoisting up a lot of shots during the course of a game. So, you know, now will that happen tonight? Will they play at that pace after arriving here in the wee hours of the morning? That I don't know. But, you know, the Cavs will try to slow that down somewhat and get the game to a more reasonable pace where the Cavs feel it plays to their favor. But, yeah, again, on paper, as we've said, you know, it looks like the Cavaliers can get one here tonight, but you play the game on the floor, so let's tip it off shortly after 7.
Great stuff as always, Tim. We appreciate the time, and we look forward to hearing your call a little bit later on tonight.
All right, my friend, always appreciate it, and again, love being on WEOL. It's always a great time.
Thank you, Tim. Always awesome stuff. That's the voice of the Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Phone lines are open. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience, Sunoco, 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. We're giving away 2 tickets to see the Cavs take on the Miami Heat at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on February 24th. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.